don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin.
The Denver Broncos select Marvin Mims, Drew Sanders,
Riley Moss.
This is Future Broncos.
I can't help but feel that the future is very, very bright.
A feature of the Fans First Sports Network and Mile High Broncos podcast.
The Broncos got better during the draft.
Here's your host, Mile High Reports, Christopher Harder.
He's a guy that raises all boats.
Way for the future, dude.
Welcome back, Broncos country, to another edition of the Future Broncos podcast. My name is Christopher Hart with Mile High Report and the Fans for Sports Network. Joined once again with Mile High Report's editor-in-chief, Tim Lynch. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not too bad. So last time on the Future Broncos podcast, we talked about the Broncos draft philosophy, but this time I want to get more into my bread and butter and actually discuss prospects coming in the 2024 NFL draft. And one area concerned for me is the defensive line for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, quarterback's the big need, but I would like to see the Broncos invest in the trenches on the defensive front this year. Before I get into particular prospects, I just kind of like to get your read on the Broncos defensive front seven, their trench players, and how big of a need you think that is for the team to address in this year's draft.
You know, I like the Broncos' young edge room. The problem is they didn't really produce last year. You know, maybe that's because they were young. I don't know. But, yeah, the edge room is a little concern. The defensive line is probably a bigger concern for me, the interior defensive line. I was 100% certain they were going to release DJ Jones. I'm kind of glad they didn't, given the situation there in that position group. But yeah, I just, you know, that the whole defensive line is a concern. They need to shore up the run against the run. They need to get pressure on the quarterback. The AFC West is a brutal place to play if you can't get any pressure on, you know, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. And so, yeah, that's a big concern. I just don't know what they could do about it. So are there any prospects that you're looking at that you think Denver should take a hard look at to consider, you know, taking a shot on?
Sure. Yeah. But before I get into that, I've got three prospects that I do think that the Broncos should consider in the first round, and then the others would be on day two. First and foremost, I wanted to do this podcast because I think outside of quarterback, improving the defensive trenches for the Broncos is the second most important thing that they could do. Obviously, Zach Allen reuniting with Vance Joseph in Denver last year, one the best free agent signing the Broncos had by far. I thought he played very, very well at defensive end in the 3-4 scheme for the Broncos. You had mentioned DJ Jones, which a lot of us thought was going to be a potential cap casualty, but they ended up getting rid of Justin Simmons and some other players, so they didn't have to get rid of him. And it's one of those things where even though DJ Jones didn't play very great last year, he's still a good football player, and it wasn't addition by subtraction. Like, getting rid of him or cutting him would have made that unit worse. The Broncos only made one outside addition to upgrading the defensive front seven, defensive line. And that would have been Malcolm Roach from New Orleans, a Sean Payton Bronco now. He is going to help with the run defense, but he is not someone who at any course of time over his 4-year rookie contract was able to play an entire season without getting hurt. So while the Broncos might have got a plus run defender, according to PFF and other grading outlets, they still have some need there. Our backup player to DJ Jones, if you asked most of Broncos country who knows the team inside and out, they wouldn't know who our backup nose tackle is, and that would be Rashard Lawrence. And that's not great. Matt Henningsen and Elijah Garcia and Jordan Jackson. are the backup ends for the team. So they need to do some work there. And you had talked about the edge rushers as well. I really like Nick Benito. He's a very finesse player, but he's incredible with his get off at the line of scrimmage, his bend, and just he is a blur. And I'm not going to say it's like Von Miller-like, because Von Miller is
generational
player. If recent fans who have just kind of grew up watching the team now had a Mount Rushmore from their days of being fans, like the past 10 years, Von Miller would be on it. He's had an indelible impact on the Broncos, Super Bowl 50, everything like that. Just a generational talent. But Baron Browning, he's kind of been healthy, kind of hasn't been. He's produced all right, but he's in a contract year. Former Ohio State Buckeye teammate Jonathan Cooper, more of a finesse player as well. He's in a contract year. We think that Drew Sanders might be going to edge, but we're not too sure. If he doesn't, I mean, it's Ronnie Perkins, Thomas Incoum, who was undrafted free agent last year. Need some help there. And on the last podcast, we talked about navigating the first round, the Broncos going after a quarterback. If they didn't, who would be there? And one player I'd mentioned that I felt I would be okay with if they couldn't move up and get a QB but had to stick at 12, maybe a trade down didn't transpire, or maybe it's just that they love the guy, it would be Florida State edge rusher Jared Verse. Like I had mentioned earlier, the Broncos have a lot of finesse to their edge rushing room. But this guy, he's a brick house. He's 6'4". He's 254 pounds. He's got good arm length at 33.5 inches. He tested out great at the combine, 4.58 and the 40-yard dash. He had a relatively low 7.3 three cone. He put 31 benches up for reps on the bench press, so he's strong. That's important, especially since the Broncos' edge rushing group had such a problem with run defense and making sure that they could contain and keep that edge clean and not get run over all the time. He started out at Albany several years ago, but he had played for the Seminoles the past 2 years and was a full-time starter the past two seasons. Over the course of 25 games for them, he had 44 solo tackles, 44 assisted tackles, with a whopping 29.5 of them for loss. So that's, to me, it's just not an edge rusher who is making plays against the quarterback. It's a guy who can make plays against the run. He had 18 sacks, a couple forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. What I like about him is just the versatility. 1,500 defensive snaps in school over the course of his career. He converts speed to power. He has a good bull rush move. Probably one of the best in the entire class. Maybe Liatulatu's is better, but I would probably put Verses up there, probably because I'm a little bit biased as a Florida State fan. He's just a high motor player, high effort player. He doesn't take plays off. He's got really good technique, which is a lot of things that rookies need to work upon. He started working on diversifying his pass rushing repertoire outside of the bull rush. He's good off the line of scrimmage. He's a good run defender. The only issues that I have with him are there's no elite length there. He can kind of be over-aggressive in pursuit every now and then, which might lead to some missed tackles or some missed opportunities. I like him. Obviously, truly is an edge, but he's not someone that I would really like to see kick inside on other rushing downs. He has some problems with attempting stunts and doing kind of exotic things where you whip him inside. He's just purely you want to keep him outside. The other downside is I try not to get too much into age mattering, but he will be a 24-year-old rookie. But I'm okay with that because he's got strength, he's got great athleticism, and he's already – beating up on his peers in the trenches that are the same age. So he's definitely one player that I would like to see the Broncos take. I'm not too sure if you have any thoughts on him.
Well, I guess for me, it all comes back to the quarterback. So if they're going to go after a first-round non-quarterback, what's the latest he could go realistically? Because the Broncos would clearly need to trade back to try to get to move up to get a quarterback in the second round probably. So, you know, I don't think they would sit pat at 12 under any circumstance if they're not going quarterback, and which means that they have an eye on, you know, a quarterback in the second round. So where do you think Jared Verse could realistically fall, I guess is the question. Or is he right there at 12?
Yeah, I mean, dude, to me, he's a top 15 player, and he is by far, in my opinion, the best edge rusher in this year's draft.
The Broncos would have to give up basically go without a quarterback to get him.
Correct. Draft. Yeah, I mean, we talked scenarios in the last podcast. I mean, maybe they use future picks to get back into the first round or early second round to get one of those Bo Nix or Michael Penix. But relative to Verse, I have a hard time believing. We all know that pass rushers are important. Team grades will vary, but he's a top 15 certified boss ready to go make an impact and be the top edge rusher in most teams' units. A lot of the Twitter combos with a lot of draft friends on other sites, et cetera, it's like the Broncos have a room full of Robins, but they need a Batman, and Jared Verse would be that Batman. But
I guess when they had two Batmans in Vaughn and DeMarcus Ware.
yeah. I mean, and the crazy thing is, you know, he doesn't you could make a comparison to Bradley Chubb a little bit, just in the fact that they were also plus run defenders and they could set the edge really well. And it's just a damn shame, just due to injuries and how that saga played out when Vic Fangio is here, that we never got to see a full healthy season of what Von Miller and Bradley Chubb could do together. And it's one of those what ifs in Broncos history that I like to think about is how could have the team maybe been different, even though they were kind of in the quarterback abyss still. They could have been better, or could have they, you know, been a playoff caliber team if those guys got a couple healthy seasons together. We'll never know. So
yeah, we'll never know.
Edge rusher is up there as, you know, quarterback is obviously bright gold star, blinking strobe lights, everything. That is the top need. Edge rusher is right behind that. But then, you know, obviously we had brought in Malcolm Roach. We have Zach Allen, DJ Jones, et cetera. If one of those guys go down and are injured, you're literally looking at Matt Henningsen or some of those other guys coming in and trying to see 40 to 45 to 50% of the reps on the defensive line. Zach Allen was an animal last year and had like 80% of the defensive line snaps, you know, of total snaps for the defense the entire year, which is like 10% more than Draymond Jones ever had when he was here, and 30% higher than anyone else on the Broncos defensive line. So the Broncos need to add defensive linemen. They need, whether it's a nose tackle or whether it's a versatile end that can come in and kick in on the interior as well, they need to bring a guy into that group. Trouble is the Broncos, as we had said last podcast, don't have a second round pick as of now. But maybe there's a situation that we alluded to earlier that they do have one of those picks, or they maybe even like someone and make a move for them. There are two guys that I really, really like that I would say would be my guys. And one of them would be Clemson defensive lineman Rook Ororo. He has played a lot of snaps at Clemson. He's 6'4". He's 294 pounds. He's got a huge wingspan with 34-inch arms and 78-inch wingspan. It's big. Tested out really good, sub 4.9, 40-yard dash, incredible 10-yard split at 1.67 seconds. Also tested out incredibly well as on the bench with 29 reps. He had 53 games at Clemson. The last 2 years, he was a starter. People are wondering, well, if he's such a good prospect, why didn't he start 4 years? Clemson just produces defensive line talent all the time. But he made the most of it the last 2 years there. 88 tackles for a defensive lineman the past 2 years, 25 and a half for loss and 12 sacks. What I like about him most is his ability to play outside and inside along Clemson's defensive front. One of the things that we've kind of seen over the past couple of years, and you had mentioned this earlier, like getting interior pressure matters. We like talking about edge rushers. The Broncos have kind of been blessed to have a lot of good ones, to Marcus Ware, Von Miller, et cetera. Elvis Dumervil, if we want to do a shout out to a longtime favorite Bronco of mine from a long time ago. But guys who wreak havoc on the interior of the defensive line, Chris Jones got paid. Obviously, what's his name? Just retired. Rams.
Aaron Donald?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Donald. Yeah, yeah, I couldn't think of it. Thanks for saving me there, Tim. Aaron Donald, obviously Hall of Fame first ballot player. People thought he was too small, too undersized because he was like 6'1", 290 pounds. Just wrecked it throughout his entire career, making a difference. And Rook out of Clemson, just one of those players. You know, five technique to zero technique, that's lining up outside of the tackle to all the way at the nose tackle. He's got the size and length, and he's ready to go with it, with his strength at the point of attack. One of the best athletes in the class. He's really quick off the line of scrimmage. If you guys ever have any time to watch some of Rook's highlights, watch him when he's not lined up on the outside, but when he's on the inside playing three or the two shade or at one or at zero. Like, he beats the hell out of opposing centers and guards, and he's just quick. He's just, I mean, that's why I had like 28 tackles for loss in 2 years as a starter. It's just, he would be really, really good on the Broncos defensive line. He's someone that can start outside, but also in obvious pass rush situations, kick inside. I think he's a top 64 player, so that's a top two round grade on him. The Broncos are sitting at 76, and we don't know what's going to happen with trades, but if he's within striking distance of that third round pick, absolutely make a move and go and get him. This is probably not one of those things. I mean, people will be like, oh, just helmet scouting there. But Broncos fans, long haulers like you and I will remember a certain Clemson defensive lineman from a long time ago, Trevor Price. He kind of reminds me of him. And some of the podcast listeners new to the team, younger, probably don't remember Trevor Price, but late Shanahan era, you know, Super Bowl run. He was a good player for the team. Then he went and, you know, he hurt his neck, but went to the Ravens. I honestly think he was a borderline Hall of Fame caliber player. And I don't know if Rook's going to be that good. Trevor was a first round pick, but he would be a good addition to the Broncos defensive line. I mean, they need help there. Be hard to do worse than him. Another guy that I really, really like for the Broncos is Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. That name might sound familiar to NFL fans because his father was Chris Jenkins, who played for the Carolina Panthers for, 12, 13 years alongside Julius Peppers, stuff like that. He's similar to Rook. And the fact that he's extremely athletic and versatile, their physical profiles are almost the same. He tested out great at the combine. He just didn't have as much production as Rook with the Wolverines. He was a third-team All-American this past year. He was second-team All-Big Ten. He was a 15-game starter. They just really moved him around the line so much because he's such an athletic, gifted athletically. Obviously, his dad was an athletic freak coming out of Maryland. It just runs in the genes. He's got NFL bloodlines. It's just one of those things that I think of Rashawn Gary out of Michigan's evaluation a couple of years ago. And it's one of those things to where he was so athletic and so gifted, they just moved him around wherever they needed him. And he never really got a chance to settle in and maybe clean up his technique, maybe get finer at the nuance of the things. But he really looked good in the college playoffs against the Huskies and the Crimson Tide. He's active with his hands. He is good in single block one-on-one situations. He's got a pretty darn good spin move for a guy who's 300 pounds. Not going to lie. That's another thing. It's just with him, it's all about interior pressure and what he can do to help the Broncos in that regard. He's someone like Rook that can play outside as well. So I see him as another top 64 player. That's right there on the cusp of where the Broncos are picking in the third round. But wouldn't mind them being aggressive and going and getting them, because they're both players, Jenkins and Rook, that can play any spot on the line for the Broncos. So it's one of those things that if we can't get a quarterback, that's going to suck. But I will be significantly disappointed if the Broncos don't come out of this draft, at least in the third or fourth round, with a difference maker on the defensive line.
Yeah, I agree. The defensive line is a big issue.
Yeah. I mean, outside of those guys, there's some other players that I know that they're taking a close look at. Jared Burse's teammate, Fabian Lovett Sr., he's just a big, squatty, nose guard type, I'm going to replace Mike Purcell prospect. The Broncos have brought him in. They met with him at the senior, the Senior Bowl, the whole pre-draft process at Indianapolis and the combine. He's someone to look out for. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in the third round, but my value on him is more of a fourth round pick. So that would be nice if the Broncos could save him there.
They have a lot of day three picks, and
right.
I think defensive line, I think Malik Jackson, day three pick, you know, that kind of player with just the mentality of a Malik Jackson type would be perfect. But
yeah,
it's such a crapshoot. Once you get into day three, it's really just like you hope you found a guy, one of the rare gems, because you really just don't know.
Yeah, and the thing with the Broncos that a lot of people need to be keeping an eye on is that they recently promoted Jamar Cain, like last month, to their defensive line coach. And LSU has got several prospects in this year's draft. Mecky Wingo be a nose tackle prospect, Jordan Jefferson, and Mason Smith, a redshirt sophomore who was there in 2021 when he was first with the Tigers. Those are three names that I'd also just say keep an eye on, maybe do a little bit of research. When you get into the day three of the NFL draft, it's one of those times where it's not necessarily the GM or the head coach calling the shots. It's like, hey,
our scouts,
going to our scouts, or I'm going to my position coach here. That's all. They're also on the circuit. I mean, obviously, George Payton and Sean Payton, GM and head coach, they're putting in the rounds as well. But those position coaches rely so much on information from the area scouts that it's not a surprise. And you see it almost every draft that a position coach is going to get their guy. So with him getting a promotion, him having ties to those three LSU players and probably more if I looked into it, because he moved quite a bit around in college with Oklahoma and other places. It's an area that I expect them to address in the top 150 picks. So those were three main guys with Burse, Rook, and Jenkins that I'd like to see him add. Plenty more. I think it's a good class overall. I like Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State. I really like Dwayne Carter out of Duke as well. I was kind of into Devondre Sweat as a big nose tackle guy on day two for the Broncos, but he just got a DUI last week, so I would probably not take him anyways. So it'll just be interesting to see what the Broncos have to do. But like I started out with this podcast, them having some sort of plan to upgrade the defensive trenches makes the most sense to me. next to quarterback as the primary need for the team. So,
well, okay. One final question before we close this out. Let's hypothetically say the Broncos take a quarterback in the first round, right?
Sure.
They don't pick again until the end of the third round. What is one guy that you think could make it to the back half of the third round on the defensive line that you would be very excited if the Broncos snagged, realistically?
Well, they're picking at 76, so that's still a top 12 pick in the third round. So outside the top 75.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Obviously, Byron Murphy from Texas not going to be there. Jazon Newton, he's a first-round player out of Illinois. He's not going to be there. Honestly, I really like Dwayne Carter out of Duke. He is just strong at the point of attack. He's a multi-year captain for them. There were a lot of games to where if his presence wasn't on their defensive front for Duke, they wouldn't have been as good as they were. He is just strong at the point of attack. He is a lot better inside than he is outside, but he's also one of those players like Rook and like Jenkins earlier that just have a ton of experience and they have the ability to come in, whether it's, you know, platooning on run defense right away or coming in on third downs, making a difference. Some players, some people might think that he's a day three guy, but I think he's like a top 75 player in my book. So if those guys that I mentioned earlier aren't there, I would definitely take him over any of the LSU guys that Jamar Cain coached. And I would be ecstatic if he was there and on the board for the Broncos at 76, just like a four-year starter, team captain basically every year he was there. There's a lot of things just to like about his football character coinciding with his play. At that point in time, he could do a lot worse. And Denver, the team's changing. They need new leadership. They need new young men in the room who can kind of like get things going in the right direction. And by all accounts, from everything I've read and heard about him, he's just a phenomenal person and a phenomenal prospect. So it would be Dwayne Carter out of Duke for sure.
Awesome.
But that's kind of it for today's podcast. A future Broncos, three prospects the Broncos should consider to upgrade the defensive trenches. I think I named maybe eight or nine more, but just keep tuned in to Mile High Report over the course of the next 2 weeks for all your Broncos related NFL draft coverage, scouting reports. We've got Scotty Payne's draft interest tracker that he spends so much time on. That's got every player the Broncos have had for a 30 visit, every player they've met with at the combine, everyone that they talked to at the East-West Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl, all those games, we've got that. It's the best place to get any draft-related Broncos content on the web. So stick with us. Stick with Mile High Report and future Broncos, and just enjoy the next couple of weeks, because on Thursday, the 25th of April, the 2024 NFL Draft kicks off, and expect some big things for the Denver Broncos. Once again, thanks for listening, and you guys have a great rest of your day.